come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible Study through the Gospel of John. More information about this study is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com.
So, Father, as we just get into your word tonight, I'm so thankful for this chapter, Lord. I'm thankful for this Lord's Prayer that we have put before us. We're thankful, Lord, for your presence with us and for the instruction that we've gotten from this prayer as we've studied, that we are to pray for others, that we look to the things that you have done in our lives, that we are to bring glory to your name, that we have safety in you, that we have security in you, Lord, that you want us to walk in unity, Lord, that you are faithful to us. And I thank you, Lord, that you have gone before us tonight. Lord, that you have brought to us those things that you want to say to us tonight. And I pray, Father, that we would be sensitive to your voice, sensitive to the things that you want to say to us, and, Lord, that we would be quick to hear, slow to speak, and quick to move on in obedience to the things that you speak to us. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, chapter 17. I love chapter 17. It is one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible. Of course, just about every chapter I get to is my favorite one for the moment because it is so filled with so many things. And I noticed that we call this the Lord's Prayer because it is Jesus praying. However, it does not end with amen. So how do we know that this is a prayer? One thing is that it is in red letters. We know that Jesus said it, if you have a red letter Bible. But we also know that because it starts out with the word Father. We know it's being prayed to the Father. He's talking to the Father. That's what prayer is, talking to the Father. And so we have this as our prayer. In chapters 13 through 19, so we've moved from 13, we're in 17 now, we're going to go to 19, not tonight, but 13 to 19 covers a 24-hour period. 13 to 19 covers a 24-hour period. John has recorded for us here the long conversation of the night. How did John know that this conversation went on? How did he know that this conversation with the Father had actually happened? We know that Jesus spoke out this prayer out loud. It says in the very beginning, Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes, and said. So we have the disciples right here. They are right here. I get a picture of Jesus. He's standing, and he's speaking these things out loud. He's keeping it where everyone can hear. He spoke these words out loud. That was the position of prayer for now for him, that position of standing and looking up. And we know that the disciples were there. Now, Jesus could have prayed quietly, couldn't he? It's not like God doesn't hear us if we're just praying in quietness. You know, sometimes you're in a place you just have to just quietly pray. You just don't even open your mouth. You're just praying in your mind. That's fine because God hears that. But sometimes we need to speak out loud. Corrie Ten Boom, when she was in another country, she had gotten back from a long day of ministry, and she had told the Lord out loud in her room, "I'm so tired, I really don't want to pray tonight. Can I just go to bed?" And the Lord spoke to her and said, "No, you can't go to bed. You need to pray, and you need to pray out loud." Well, as it turns out, actually, she argued with him a little bit, as we all do. You know, I just want to go to bed. But the Lord said, "No, I need you to pray, and I need you to pray out loud. So she knelt by her bed, and I don't know, where did we get the idea of kneeling by our bed? You know, from pictures, maybe, that we decided that we need to kneel, but it's a means of worship that we've developed. But anyway, she knelt by her bed, and she prayed out loud, and found out later that her room had been bugged, and so the people that heard her pray had their lives changed because she was obedient and she prayed. She prayed out loud. That's what Jesus is doing here. You know, when he spoke to in chapter 11 with Lazarus in 11:41 and 42, he said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this that they might believe in me." Remember, the book of John, the Gospel of John, was written for the purpose of letting people know that Jesus is God. That's why it was written. That's why it was there. And so he spoke this out loud. He spoke it out loud so that all could hear his request for Lazarus to come forth, that they might know and believe. Now, Jesus is preparing himself right here in chapter 17. He's preparing himself for what is ahead of him. He's going to receive strength for the sacrifice that's going to be happening. He's going to get more of that strength in the next chapter when we talk about him being in the Garden of Gethsemane and his arrest and so forth. But he's preparing himself as he's speaking to the Father. Hebrews 12:2, Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So he is preparing himself for the things that are ahead of him. Jesus knew, I believe, Jesus knew exactly what was before him. He knew exactly what he was facing. And so he prepared himself for that with the Father. He's also prayed for his disciples, for his belief, for those who believed, those who believe. What is belief? When we say, I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you know, demons believe as well, and they are not saved. But believe means to cling to, adhere to, rely on, to trust in. And you are a disciple when you cling to, adhere to, trust in, and rely on Jesus Christ. And there is, through that, we have that salvation. These are the things that he prayed for his disciples. He prayed for security. He prayed for their joy to be fulfilled. He prayed for their unity. And he prayed for their future glory, their time of glory that would be ahead of them. He also prayed for those very same things for you and for me. He also prayed for those who will be saved, not just those who he was talking to right there, but for those who will be saved, those who will believe, and we'll get to that in a moment. And he prayed for us today. Let's just read through chapter 17, so you've got your Bibles open and you're all ready to read through. And so Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came forth from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep them, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I've known you, and these have known that you sent me, and I have declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them. It took us 4 minutes to read that prayer. In the time that it takes to steep a cup of tea, we have read the entire prayer that Jesus made. He was straight to the point. He covered the things that were there. He positioned himself. He lifted up his eyes, and he stood there, and he prayed. And I began to ask myself, and I ask you now, when was the last time that you positioned yourself in a position of prayer and prayed for 4 minutes? Just 4 minutes. So many times we walk and pray, we work around the house and we're praying, and we use the excuse that I stay awake if I'm moving. But you know what? I really enjoy when I'm out with my husband. I enjoy when we're talking if we look at each other, and that I have his full attention and he has my full attention. I love that. Well, let's put it in another way. You're out with a friend. You're getting some coffee. Little bit of dessert to go with it, and you start chatting about something that's going on in your life. And your friend is like, oh, yeah, just looking around you to see what's, because there might be something going on better than who you are, because, I might miss out on some. You don't feel important, do you? And I wonder if sometimes Jesus doesn't feel that way. I don't know. I don't think that's, but I feel that I am doing that to him when I don't give him my full attention. Because I can't expect, remember we talked about sitting in the quiet and having that quiet time with the Lord so that we can invest that time with him, because it's in the quiet, it's that still small voice in the quiet that we hear the Lord. And we are so busy. You know, Jesus lived an undistracted life. Now, granted, he did not have an iPhone. He did not have a phone laid next to him. every place that he went that gave the alarm for this and the alarm for that and that letting you know this, and there's a fire going on there and something happened, there's an Amber Alert over there and the weather is happening here and there's this news, other news thing, and by the way, you're supposed to be at this place, and he didn't have all of those alarms going off, but he had people around him all the time. And yet in the midst of those people, right now, in what we're covering, in the midst of those people, he lifted up his eyes and he prayed so that they would hear. Because he's always thinking about you. He's always thinking about us. And so we look at verse 1, and it says that Jesus spoke these words. He lifted up his eyes. Now, I don't know. I don't see him with his hands lifted up. We don't have evidence that his hands were lifted up. It just says that his eyes were lifted up, and I picture him standing. I don't think he was sitting. That's just my opinion. I need to picture in my mind of what's going on. So I believe that he was standing amongst the people there, amongst his disciples, and he lifted up his eyes, and he began to say, "Father, the hour has come. The hour has come." Now, back in chapter 8, verse 20, it wasn't time. And back in chapter 12, 23, it wasn't time. But here in chapter 17, verse 1, he says, "Now it's the time. Now is my time. Now is the time for the Father to glorify his Son, that Jesus might bring glory to his Father." Jesus was looking ahead to his death on the cross. He was already there in his mind. If he were to remain, he knew, if he were to remain in the grave, if he were to remain there, he would be simply just another man. But he says, "Glorify me, glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you." And he would be glorified by being raised from the dead. That would be the proof that he was God's Son and the world's Savior. That's the proof we have. The resurrection is the proof. There's nothing in just the death. There has to be the sacrifice of the death. But without the resurrection, there's no salvation. He would not be sinless. That would mean that there was something that kept him. We can't have salvation in something that is marred. You know how the sacrifices had to be perfect. They had to be absolutely perfect, or else they weren't a good sacrifice. Well, here we have that perfect sacrifice. That's exactly what the Father did. Glorify your Son also, that your Son may glorify you. And moving into verses 2, it's explained in the next two verses, 2 and 3. "You have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life." By the way, how are you doing with memorizing your scriptures? That good. This is one you need to memorize. This is one you need to hide in your heart, because this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent, that they may know you, that they might have an intimate relationship with you. That's eternal life, when we have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ and the Father. He's praying, and remember, he's praying this out loud. "I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do." I have finished the work. I've glorified the Father by my sinless life. I've glorified the Father by my miracles. I've glorified the Father by my suffering. And soon I'll be glorifying my Father by death. And I will glorify the Father by my resurrection. He is glorifying the Father. "I have finished the work," he says. "I have finished what you set out for me to do, what you had for me to do." Jesus lived with purpose. Now, this convicted me, because I have things in my life, I don't know if you do, but I certainly do. I have things that God has told me, "I want you to do this." And I haven't finished them. I have almost done them. I have sort of done them. Or I have thought about doing them. And the Lord says, "You need to finish the work that I gave you to do." Now, I got to say, my little bit of concern is that when it's finished, does that mean I'm finished? So it may be a little subliminal thing or something in the back of my mind that says, you don't need to finish that right now. You got a little more time left. Buy yourself some time. But, of course, that's not true. But he finished the work that God had for him to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Jesus prayed that the visible manifestation of his glory in heaven might be restored. The physical manifestation of his glory in heaven might be restored, brought back again. Let the original glory that I shared with you before I became man be resumed. Let's get back to what's really going on here. I've made your name known, it says. I've manifested your name, in verse 6, to the men whom you've given me out of the world. They were yours and you gave them to me. I have manifested your name. I've made your name known. Look at me and see. They look at me and they see you. They look at me and they see you. That is a work of the Holy Spirit. That's a work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. When people can look at us and see Jesus, that is a work of the Holy Spirit. It is also not an advantage, but an overflow, if you will, of our time invested in the quiet with the Lord, because we become more like the people that we hang out with. And I want to be more like Jesus. Recently, someone told me about my smile. They said, there's just something about your smile. And I mean, this is just my smile. It's the same. A lot of years, it's been the same. But she said, there's just something about your smile. But it's Jesus. If you see something about me that is really something about me, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. And he is the one who is making a difference in our lives. And so they have kept your word. They have kept your word. They've declared the Father's true nature. They kept your word despite the disciples have kept your word despite their failures, despite their shortcomings. Jesus said they believed and they obeyed your teaching. They believed and they obeyed your teaching, even though sometimes when they tried, they failed. You know, what is it? The evidence of a successful person is that they keep, when they fall down, they keep getting up. And that's what God calls us to do. Just keep getting up. Keep moving on. Keep moving, despite all their failures. Now, in verses 7 and 8, Jesus explains that he did, or he said, was only what he was instructed to do. Now, they have known that all these things which you have given me are from you, for I have given to them the words which you have given to me. Remember, Jesus said, I only do what the Father tells me to do, and I only say what I hear the Father say. And so he's giving that to his disciples now. Verse 9, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. Now, Jesus is praying for those that belong, those who are believers right at that time. When he says, I'm not praying for the world right now, he was just praying for those that were right there right now. But later on, he's going to be at the cross and he's going to say, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. He was praying for the world. Remember that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And so he goes on to say, all mine are yours, yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. In verses 6 through 19, and I love this, this is from William MacDonald, Jesus presents his little flock to the Father and robes each little lamb in a coat of many colors and declares, I am glorified in them. Is that just so cool? Jesus presents his little flock to the Father and robes each little lamb in a coat of many colors and declares, I am glorified in them. Hallelujah. I want to have that coat of many colors. I want to have that on me. I want to declare God's goodness. He goes on to say, now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father, keep them through your name. Holy Father, I want to linger on this for just a moment. Holy Father, holy speaks of one who is infinitely high. Father speaks of one who is intimately nigh. Holy speaks of one who is infinitely high, and Father speaks of one who is intimately nigh. We have an intimate relationship with him. He is near to us. In verse 12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name, and to whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except for the son of perdition. We know that son of perdition was Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot had the same kind of choice ability that any other person, any other of the rest of us has. But he chose poorly, and because he chose poorly, he fulfilled the scriptures. God keeps his own. He keeps his own. I spoke these things in verse 13. I spoke these things while I was in the world. Your words that you gave me, that the disciples, the believers would have my joy fulfilled in them. I speak in the but now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in them, that they might have within them that joy unspeakable and full of glory. I have recently gone through some things that I don't understand why I'm peaceful in them. I can't explain it. It's a very weird feeling. Someone comes and tells me, da-da-da-da-da, this is going on, or this happened, or whatever happened. I go, oh, okay, well, suppose we should pray about it. For sure, we need to pray about it. But there's not that thing in me that just goes, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Oh, this, what now? It is that peace that surpasses all understanding that keeps our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And it's a very wonderful feeling. And it comes from that joy unspeakable and full of his glory. Because the joy of the Lord is my strength. We get there our strength because the joy of the Lord is our strength. That joy that's in there when those things happen and we just go, yeah, okay, that was bummer that happened. But we're going to get through it. It's not that we don't have compassion for other people who are walking through it. I'm not saying somebody comes to it. Oh, yeah, yeah, no big deal. You'll get over it. We don't do that, of course. I'm talking about that inner feeling that you have. Outwardly, you're going to give them all the compassion that you have. Inwardly, that God has given you. And did I just redeem myself there at all? Okay, anybody want to? Okay, great. Thank you so much. And so, verse 14, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I have given them your word. I've not given them anything of myself, only what you told me to give them. The world hates them because my word challenges the world. My word challenges the world. And that's why the world hates. The world doesn't want to be challenged. Those who are unbelievers don't want to be challenged. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. Don't take them out of the world, but keep them strong while they stay here. He's not talking about escape. He's talking about preservation. He's not talking about getting out of a situation. He's talking about going through it. That he would be our strength. He would give us all we need to accomplish whatever he calls us to do. He will give us all that we need. Verse 16, they are not of this world, just as I am not of this world. This world, honey, this world is not my home. I am just passing through. Oh, thank God I'm just passing through. Because, honey, it's where did I pick up that honey? Oh, for that southern accent just pops right in there. I'm from, not even from southern Illinois. Jeez. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through, just like you. We're going right through. And we got that peace that surpasses all understanding, keeps our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We have that joy unspeakable and full of his glory. And we're moving on down the road. We're just going. We're going in the peace of the Lord. They are not of the world, and neither am I. Sanctify them by your truth, because your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. I've sent them into the world as you sent me into the world. What was he sent into the world to do? To show the world what God is like. And now he sends us to show the world what God is like. That's what we get to do. Verse 19, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. That they would be sanctified by the truth. For their sakes I set myself apart, so that they also may be set apart by the truth. For your word is truth. And now in verses 20 through 26, he's praying, Jesus is praying for the believers. In verse 20, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe through their word. I pray for those who will believe in me through their word that was received right from God himself. He prayed that they might have unity. Now in verses 21, 23, and 26, he prayed for several things. He said, I pray for them that they may be one as you and I are one, that we might be one in exhibiting the character of God, and that they'll know that we're Christians by our unity. They'll know we are Christians by our love, by the way that we love one another. In verse 22, the glory that you gave me, I have given them that they may be one as we are one. The glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. In verse 11 of this chapter, the Lord prayed for unity in fellowship. In verse 11, he prayed for unity in fellowship. In verse 21, he prayed for unity in being a witness. Verse 21, unity in being a witness. And now it is unity in glory. Unity in glory here in this verse 22. This looks forward to the time when saints will receive their glorified bodies. Oh, glory be. I can't wait for that glorified body, because that word honey's coming up again. Because this old body just ain't what it used to be. Even when what it used to be wasn't all that great. You know what? But you know what? You know what I'm real excited about? Because I don't know if I'm going to be a size 3 or if I'm going to be a size 12 or what size am I going to be? Because it won't matter, because I'll have a glorified body. And what's it going to look like? It's going to look like perfect. I love that. I won't have to worry about putting eyebrows on. You know what? I love it. I love it. You know, my daughter, just a side note here that we really do need. My daughter and I were talking about when I die, you better make sure that I have eyebrows on. And she said, have you lost your eyebrows we were talking about it. And I thought about it, and I said, yeah, I guess I have, because I have to use the eyebrow pencil all the time. And then I was looking in the mirror, and I went, oh, no, I have eyebrows. They're just down here where they become, they could be used for lashes now. So, you know, but I'm not going to have that problem. I'm not going to have that problem when I go to heaven. You know, I'm going to be perfect. And so are you. We're going to have that glorified body. It's just going to be, you'll never get that out of your mind now. I can't even continue with the study, can I? And so, let's roll it right up. So in verse 23, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. We have the opportunity to show the precious love of God to this dying world. We have that opportunity. and we need to take advantage of us. Verse 24, Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. Father, I wish that they could see everything right now. I just wish that they could go with me right now. Father, I just want to show them how wonderful it is. I just want them to see how wonderful it is. But they get to stay here. I understand, Father. I just really wish that they could go with me. They can't, of course, and oh, how I wish they could see it all right now. Can you see Jesus just talking to the Father? I just want to bring them with me right now. Aren't you so glad that they didn't just take that group? Because you and I wouldn't have had the opportunity that we have today. Verse 25, I know, O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known you, that you sent me. I know you, the world doesn't know you, but these, the disciples, those who intimately have a relationship with you, they know you, even as they are known. I have declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them. I was reminded of a song, an old song. I wish I had mentioned it to Shannon because, of course, she can sing. So, but the words are, your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter. Can somebody sing it? I can't start. Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nation sing it louder, 'cause nothing has the power to save but your name. It is the name of Jesus. It's the name of Jesus. There is no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved but the name of Jesus, of Christ Jesus. The world will see that we are his disciples by the way that we love one another, by the way we love one another, by the way that they see that unity amongst us when everything's falling apart and we're not. You know what they say about a Bible that's falling apart usually belongs to a person who isn't. And so, Father, I thank you for this word. I thank you for our written word. I thank you for the word that you've spoken to us today. I thank you, Father, that you are in our presence, that you have made your presence aware, made us aware of your presence. We are thankful, Lord, for your blessing that you pour out on us. We're thankful, Lord, for your faithfulness and your love and your grace. Lord, let us always pray the way that you prayed here in chapter 17. Lord, that your eyes were set on bringing glory to the Father. Your eyes were set on other people coming to know the glory of your Father. Thank you, Lord, for the reminder to pray for others, to lift them up before you, and to bring glory to your name. We thank you, Father. We worship you. We give you glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name. Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.